اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل يا أيها الكافرون لا أعبد ما تعبدون ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد ولا أنا عابد ما عبدتم ولا أنتم عابدون ما لكم دينكم ولي دين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل يا أيها الكافرون لا أعبد ما تعبدون ولا ولا أنا عابد ما عبدتم ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد لكم دينكم لكم دينكم ولي دين. لكم دينكم ولي دين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. تبت يدا أبي لهب وتب ما أغنى عنه ماله حسب سيصلى نارا ذات لهب سيصلى نارا ذات لهب وامرأته حمالة الحطب في جيدها حبل من مسد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفر إنه كان توابا إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم ولم يكن له كفوا أحد قل هو الله أحد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس شر الوسواس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجن والناس. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن للمتقين مفازا حدائق وأعنابا إن للمتقين مفازا حدائق وأعنابا وكواعب أترابا وكأسا دهاقا. لا يسمعون فيها لغوا ولا كذابا جزاء من ربك عطاء حسابا. جزاء من ربك عطاء حسابا. رب السماوات والأرض رب السماوات والأرض وما بينهما الرحمن لا يملكون منه خطابا يوم يقوم الروح والملائكة صفا لا يتكلمون إلا من أذن له الرحمن وقال صوابا. ذلك فمن شاء اتخذ إلى ربه مآبا. إنا أنذرناكم عذابا قريبا يوم ينظر المرء ما قدمت يداه ويقول الكافر يا ليتني كنت ترابا. صدق الله العلي العظيم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين بعث الأنبياء والمرسلين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا سيد الخلق أجمعين حبيبنا وحبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. Inshallah, in less than, I believe, 10 days, much less perhaps than 10 days, we will be beginning Shahrullah, the month of Ramadan. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepares us in the days that are coming before the month of Ramadan, so we enter this blessed month, inshallah, with a clean soul, ready to ascend, inshallah, towards the divine. I feel that one of the topics we need reminders on these days, and the climate we're in, both on a personal level, internally, as well as externally in the global climate we're in, we're in need of, is the reminder regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's promises. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeats His promises in the Qur'an. And He repeats the reminder for us, for people. Sometimes He says, Ya ayyuhan nas. Sometimes He refers to the believers. People in general was the first, and believers. Sometimes specifically to prophets. فَاصْبِرْ إِنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٌّ. The Prophet is told, be patient, God's promise is true. So on one hand, the promises are mentioned. On the other hand, the reminder is given constantly that those promises are true. If you see them not being fulfilled in your view in the near future, don't conclude that these promises are not true. And don't live your life based on the understanding or the misunderstanding that those promises are not true. Don't live your life negligent even of those promises. Live your life based on those promises. And there are multitudes of promises and ways, some more specific, some more general. And for that reason, we are generally told to be in the state of intidharul faraj. There's a misconception regarding that. I just said some Arabic words that generally our minds quickly go to the idea of the coming of the Imam of our time, which that is a promise, that's one of the promises, but the concept of intidhar al-faraj is not limited to that particular instance of a divine promise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us different promises regarding faraj. Faraj means an opening. Faraj means relief. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us general promises of relief. Do what I will tell you. If in أهل القرى لو آمنوا واتقوا لأنزلنا عليهم, if the people of the village or civilization or city or whatever term you want to put there, the people, any people, if they believe and اتقوا and do what God says, we will send down blessings from the heavens and the earth. We'll give them abundance. That's a promise. And it's general. Ahl al-Qura, that includes us, collectively, as a community. لو آمن, if you have iman, واتقوا, and have taqwa, we will shower you with our mercy. And this is inclusive of, if not specifically referring to, inclusive of material blessings. The needs that are foreseeable in this world, the needs that we can see our need towards, the ones with regards to and related to the afterlife, are more difficult for us to see. The ones that are, that in our mind are more tangible and we worry about them, are the material ones. So you want that? You're worried about that? Or you want a better life here? Inna ahl al-qura, if the people of the qarya, the village, people, basically, any qarya, any city, anywhere. لو آمنوا واتقوا, if you have taqwa, then we will send now. We will shower you with blessings, including material blessings. We'll give you abundance. When I am not in the state of abundance, it's tight as an individual, but in this case, the verse that we're using as an example, it's a community one. It's not an individual one. Ahl al-Qura, collectively, the people. You want your community to prosper, including material prosperity, financial prosperity, including that, not only that, not limited to that. That's not the definition of prosperity. It's not the definition of success, but the definition of success, according to the Quran, includes that. Mu'mineen are to have abundance in this world. أَنَّ الْأَرْضَ يَرِثُهَا عِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحُونَ. Another promise, but we're not going to be addressing that right now. We're going to keep to the example we have. As a community, there are times that we struggle as a community. Not this family, this person, that this family. As a community, we have trouble. Finances are not coming together. We have trouble in taking care of our community needs collectively because the various members of the community are struggling financially. And so collectively we're struggling. It's tight. The Quran uses the word bast, which is abundance or having, being open, having a lot coming in, and then yaqdir is the other part. Yapsutur rizq, that's best, and then yaqdir, the qadar, in a sense, one of the meanings of that word is to have limitation, it's tight, it's limited. God promises if you are mu'min and you implement His teachings, you're careful that in your business, in your personal lives, in your family lives, the way you think of one another, the way you deal with one another as a community, if you do it the way God says, then we will shower you with blessings, including material blessings. That's a promise. When we are struggling, what tends to happen is for us to lose sight of that. What may happen, God forbid, is after losing sight of that, we start to actually question how true that promise is and start questioning God. And then start questioning, why are we even doing things the way we're told God wants us to do? And then we'll start drifting away further and further, start doing things wrong, and then God says, we will shower you with blessings in this world materially as well. But be patient. There's a time for it. There is a time for it. Back to the hadith. This is the part where the hadith comes in. When you are in a tight condition, you shouldn't lose sight of that promise. We have a tendency that when we're in hardship, when they tell us, look, God is going to give, God is going to give, if we hear it a few times, we have a tendency with the weakness of iman, like, look, could you please not repeat that? I'm being irritated here because I keep hearing that and I keep not seeing it and it's not happening. My job situation is not working out. My visa situation is not working out. My this situation is not working out. My that situation is not working out. Just, I want to remain sane. I want to remain a believer. Please, just, I don't want to hear that right now, okay? I'm not ready for that. We have this tendency, like, where is it? We get irritated. We get upset. So what happens is that for good believers sometimes, like, look, I just don't want to remember this right now. The Prophet said, أَفْضَلُ عِبَادَةِ أُمَّتِي انتظارُ الْفَرَجِ. انتظار means to be expecting. Expect. Expect Faraj. Expect the abundance to come. Expect the hardships to go. That's all faraj. Those are instances of faraj. When it's tight, expect that abundance will come. Don't just try to keep that teaching of Islam, those verses out of sight. I don't want to see that. And don't lose that. In fact, you should look at them, remind yourself that this is going to happen, and expect it to happen while you're doing whatever you're doing as taklif. In أهل القرى لو آمنوا واتقوا. That's part of taqwa. Be careful what God has said. God has said, okay, do what you think is necessary for your material life. And then there's a certain set of instructions how to do that for it to help also your spiritual life. And then a set of instructions specifically with your spiritual life. And it's all connected and all intertwined. So part of that has to do with taking care of the material needs to the best of what we see and what's available to us. It's part of it. But while you're doing that and it's tight and you wish it wouldn't be, or you prefer it not be, and you prefer abundance, expect that abundance to come. God is going to open doors for you. Have that expectation. Have that expectation. Not a negative expectation that we, like, God, I want to hold you accountable. No. Meaning, believe in that promise, and it's so clear to you that you're waiting any day now, it's going to happen. Again, not in any day now, God, I'm waiting here. That's a negative way of any day. But the positive is, I know it's coming, I just don't know when. So when you're waiting, then you're not counting, again, in a negative way, but you do expect it could happen today. Tomorrow we woke up, Ya Allah, you know, we're going to do what you've made available to us, but it may happen today, next day. And as long as this may take, and it's never forever, it's always a time, as long as that time may get extended and prolonged, I know there's an end to it. That feeling, that state of mind, that state of heart is intidhar al-faraj. The Prophet has said, أَفْضَلُ عِبَادَةِ أُمَّتِي انتظار الفرج. The most valuable form of ibadah and worship of Allah is this. And it's interesting, this actually explains to us that that state of having little, having it tight materially, financially, in terms of living conditions and what have you, that state of being is a context for you to be able to gain more spiritual blessings. And so again, لو أن أهل القرى آمنوا واتقوا لأنزلنا. We are sending, God is showering you with His mercy. Just in this instance, He's showering you with spiritual mercy more than with the material. The material is coming there, it's there, it's tight, but it's there. It's less of that in order to increase the spiritual blessing. Allah is giving us that. But even the material, wait for that. The process is this, waiting for that opening in terms of material opening. And of course, sometimes it's spiritual. That's a little more advanced than I could think of and talk about. But there is that idea. Urafa and Hukama have talked and spoken of that. If I may, if it's appropriate to say, the instances that the Qur'an tells us. It's hard for us to get our heads and wrap our heads around the experience that the Prophet had, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, as it's too profound for us, and we haven't had an experience that is even close. But the wording suggests something along the lines of the Holy Prophet waiting for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to communicate with him through the angel, through Jibreel. There were times where there was no communication. The Prophet was not receiving any revelation. And he was expecting it, meaning he knew that it's going to happen sooner or later. That period of time that he's waiting for that is intidhar al-faraj. That revelation coming when he feels the need, one of the instances is قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجْهِكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ فَلَنُوَلِّيَنَّكَ قِبْلَةً تَرْضَاهَا in Surah Baqarah. قَدْ نَرَى, we saw, we surely saw, تَقَلُّبَ وَجْهِكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ, you're waiting, you're expecting, you're turning your head in the sky, waiting for this, waiting for what? فَقَدْ, or قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجْهِكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ فَلَنُوَلِّيَنَّكَ قِبْلَةً تَرْضَاهَا. It's about the Qibla, the change of the Qibla, when the Jews were saying things about Islam not being a genuine or an original religion. It's just copying off of Judaism because their Qibla is Jerusalem. There was a time that the Prophet was expecting God to change it because he already knew, he had been told. He didn't know exactly when though. He's expecting it. It didn't happen today, tomorrow. He's waiting. He knows it's going to happen because God has promised. He doesn't know when. So, قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجْهِكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ. That period of waiting and expecting that opening spiritually, it's a little more advanced than I could, but that is there. That's for those who are more advanced, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala providing spiritually. Sometimes you expect, you're hoping, you had a good, God gave you abundance spiritually, you had a good experience. In a spiritual sense, again, not those feelings only, because when God gives, sometimes it is, the spiritual feelings are part of it. Spirituality is not defined by those feelings, but one of the blessings that God gives, and that's what the Quran talks about, the love of seeing God, feeling His presence, seeing His signs, and that's an experience that is so enjoyable. There are times that God doesn't give that. Doesn't mean you're not making progress, but God is not giving that. So when you're in that time of spiritual tightness, those experiences that were very enjoyable, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not giving them. But you know God has promised He will give. There's again intidhar al-faraj. So materially, spiritually, the concept of intidhar al-faraj. There's another context to intidhar al-faraj that is relevant to us. It's an ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to the hadith. أَفْضَلُ عِبَادَةِ أُمَّتِي, which is also related to that faraj, that's related to the coming of the Imam. It's related to that. And that is political faraj. The faraj of being relieved of tyranny. Being relieved of the tight situation for the believers. Month of Ramadan is approaching. Dua al-Iftitah will be a daily routine for us, inshallah. Allahumma inna nashku ilayk. We complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kathrat aduwina, qillat adadina. We don't have our imam with us. Our enemies are in large numbers, and our numbers, as those moving towards the coming of the imam, where our numbers are small, we complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding that. It's tight. A believer that lives under a tyrant, under tyrants, is in a tight situation. Because they look at God's ideals, they see God's laws, ideals, values are being violated, are being mocked. If you speak up to try to encourage people to move towards divine ideals, these tyrants crack down on you, cause issues for you. People are afraid to speak up against the tyranny, speak up with the truth. This is a tight situation. A believer is in a very tight situation. Amir al-Mu'mineen talks about that period that he, in 25 years, that he was not the official ruler. He was the imam, and he was the legitimate Islamic ruler, but he did not have the official position. And so seeing people that are not qualified for this, being in that position, and therefore misleading Muslimin, leading them in a different direction, and the believers are suppressed, their voices are suppressed, they can't be directly involved, they have to be involved in a much lesser capacity. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, I was patient while I had a thorn in my eye and a bone stuck in my throat. That shows that tight situation, very difficult condition. A believer, when they see that France bans underage girls from wearing hijab, the parents cannot have their daughters wear the hijab if that noble, pious, intelligent girl of 9 years of age, 10 years of age, whom according to Islam is mature enough to be referred to as an adult, if she chooses to wear the hijab, they say, no, you're not allowed to. We don't consider you an adult. You're a child. You are dumb. And if you wear this, it's because your parents are forcing you. We want to relieve you and let you make that choice at age 18, the same way that alcohol you cannot have until age 18. The hijab is something that you have to come of age to make that choice. And if we catch parents doing this, it's deep trouble for them. You see this? And that makes it very difficult for one to live. It's very tight politically. It's very tight to live under a tyrant that openly massacres Muslimin and Muslimat through drone attacks, through direct military involvement in Afghanistan, in Iraq. They create terrorist organizations that massacre people in Syria, in Afghanistan, in Pakistan, in Iraq. They create a siege on Yemen. The people who rise in the name of Allah and say, we want to only worship God, their punishment is a siege really on them. Medicine is not allowed. Food is not allowed. Clean water is not allowed. Technology is not allowed. Weapons are not allowed. You have got to die unless you give in to our ways. And we're living under the tyrants that are imposing this directly and indirectly. Directly by wanting that, by having governments in the region in power that would also want that and would buy their warfare, American warfare, the Saudis, buy American warfare to use it for American interests, which is to suppress this uprising of the Yemeni people. Living in this condition for a believer is very difficult. It's a tight situation. And plenty of other examples that one can mention. This is a tight situation. A believer is supposed to live in these conditions and have taqwa, which means be careful of what God says in that context. Look at their responsibilities that God has put on their shoulders. When you see the French government doing this, what is the responsibility of the Muslimin on a global capacity? Muslim governments, Muslim nations, what are our responsibilities? French Muslim population, the European Muslim population, the Western Muslim population scattered in the Western world. What's God's taklif on us? Implement that. And it's going to be tight. There are going to be issues. The French government is brutal. The French government is cruel. The French government is responsible for the murder of God knows how many millions of people in Africa, in Southeast Asia, and God knows where else, in certain parts of the Americas. Very ruthless in Northern Africa. Towards their own people. Look at the French Revolution. People who came to power in the process of the French Revolution. They came to power because the people didn't want those tyrants in place. They came to power and they caused more cruelty. Large mass murders and massacres. And in the recent episode, this French government that talks about human rights is the government that does not allow its own people to even breathe and try to complain about their difficult conditions. The police is pepper spraying and attacking and beating and imprisoning. They keep coming every Saturday. This is the French government. And the French government is very racist as well. So if the Muslims want to uphold their responsibility and oppose this law, this criminal law, this law in itself, even without its implementation, is a crime. And then the implementation in a criminal way, if Muslimin want to fulfill their obligations, that racist, cruel, brutal government of France is not going to be easy on them. And then the mazloom people there, in addition to facing the iron fist, are going to be faced with the media that's going to portray them as the terrorists, them as uncivilized, and the cruel, brutal, racist French government as civilized, as activists for human rights, and the list continues. This is going to be difficult. When we are in this difficulty and we implement that taqwa, we're careful and we see what does God want us to do. He wants us to stand against this, speak against this. Girls, come out with your hijab. Let them put you in custody. Parents, encourage your daughters. Let them call you whatever they want. And your conditions are going to get tighter. But God says, don't worry. This tightness, this difficulty, this pressure, this cruelty will not remain. Will remove. That's a divine promise. That's the faraj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will relieve you. The final faraj of the coming of the Imam is where no authority will be on earth that would want to treat the people in this way. But while we move in that direction, we need to have that taqwa. When we have that taqwa, and because of implementing those teachings, they crack down on us, create a tight condition. Our great ibadah at that point, while we're involved in that struggle, is intidhar al-faraj. There's a promise, God will relieve you of that hardship. He will relieve you collectively. The French government will have to give in. If you implement taqwa, if you do what God says, and if we do what God says, we all have a role to play in this. They're getting more and more open in their enmity towards Islam and Islamic symbols, Islamic figures. And we have more of a responsibility to be more open about our defense and our implementation and us standing against these cruelties. It gets tough though. When it gets tough, intidhar al-faraj, there's a promise, it will be removed. If you have that taqwa, it will be removed. Know that it will be removed. Don't think, but it's just going to get worse. No, it's not going to just get worse. That's not the word of God. That's the word of shaitan. God says, do what I'm telling you, it's going to get better, not that it's going to get worse. Like, oh, but if we do this, it's going to get worse. It's Iblis speaking right there. Brother, sister, what you're saying is from Iblis, it's not from Allah. God has spoken in the Quran, God has promised, you do your thing, I will remove it. How many times, let me tell you this story, this, inshallah, it'll be of benefit to us all. One of the commanders under Haj Qasim Soleimani, who's been speaking more frequently in the last year after the Shahada of Haj Qasim, he mentioned this story, and then there's numerous stories from the 2006 war against Israel and in the war that Saddam and the Western powers waged against the Mu'mineen in the Islamic Republic. There's plenty of stories, but this, I found it to be very... This is an example of this promise. The commander says that we had gone to the southwestern side of Syria, close to the Israeli border. We're dealing with the terrorists. The city was under their control, and it was a very difficult battle that we had. And at a certain point of the battle, that it was clear to me that we cannot make progress, Haj Qasim came. And when Haj Qasim came in, he went and looked around and saw what was happening. He didn't say anything there, but he left. He sent a message with a messenger. And he said that, I want these A, B, C, D done. These are what I want done. Are you able to do it? Can you promise me that you can do it? He said, I looked at the list, and based on everything I knew of warfare and how to fight and the conditions on the ground, this was impossible. I could not, I would not be able to do this. But he said, Haj Qasim had reminded me a number of times beforehand about the commander I used to have during the war that Saddam had waged against the Islamic Republic, Mehdi Bakiri, may Allah bless his soul, this great shaheed, very great shaheed from Azerbaijan, from the region of Azerbaijan, Mehdi Bakiri. about tawakkul. Like, look, rely on God, the impossible becomes possible. So that reminder of Mehdi Bakiri, and you're the soldier of Mehdi Bakiri, and so on and so forth. So I remember that I did tawassul to Mehdi Bakiri himself, to Shuhada. This is one of the teachings that we have in Islam. So I spoke to him, said, "Oh Mehdi, you know me. I want to do the tawakkul that you spoke of. This is impossible. Help me out." He said, "I didn't sign it. I got a little bit of blood on my finger, from my finger. I stamped the paper with that and sent it back to Hajj Qasim. And we planned for it. The next morning, we were going to start. I knew it was impossible. I said, God, I don't know. I'm going to rely on you." There were certain areas that were under terrorist control, and they had strongholds, and we had tried. They were not working. Now, I have this list of, I need to take over these areas. I knew it's impossible based on what I have and what the positions they have, and the whole thing is just impossible. But we planned based on whatever we have. We're going to try tomorrow, and I promise, I put my blood there. I said, God, I'm relying on you. So the next day, we started marching in that direction to begin the battle. We got close. No shooting. Nothing happening. We got to those positions. We saw the terrorists are gone. And we went further. We caught a couple of them. And we came to know that, and look at this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in charge. We try to figure out what the heck happened. These guys had these positions. We were being defeated in the battle. There was a pause. We tried, it didn't work. Hajj Qasim came and gave us instructions. We were planning that, so there was a pause in this battle. They caught a couple of those terrorists, and they wanted to know, figure out what was happening. They said they thought that the believers, that we basically are going to ambush them from behind. They got scared. Fear came into them. They thought they're going to be all massacred. They all left. There was no battle occurred. He said, if they would have stayed there and fought, we would have been defeated. No questions asked. There was no way on earth we're going to defeat these guys. We relied on Allah. We went there. God defeated them for us. This is an example. If you think, oh, the French government, the US government, the British government, oh, they have the CIA, MI6, Mossad, this and that, how can we possibly? Does it look impossible to you? You say, yes, based on, well, that's where you need to do tawakkul. That's where God says, I will give you nusra. I will give you victory. The Quranic example of the same battlefield, what we just said in the contemporary context, is a contemporary example of what the Quran says. Banu Israel under Talut or Saul, they went to fight everyone based on what they saw. Like, it's impossible for us to win. Those that yadhunnuna annahum mulaqu rabbihim, they stood up, they said, كَمْ مِنْ فِئَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ غَلَبَتْ فِئَةً كَثِيرَةً بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. If God wants, we will win. God has said, we need to fight. We're going to go out. Ya Allah, رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. They went, فَهَزَمُوهُمْ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. It looked impossible. It was impossible based on ordinary means. But they went there based on their taklif. What happened? وَقَتَلَ دَاوُدْ جَالُوتْ. David killed, or Dawood killed, Goliath or Jalut. It was done. It was over. They won. How many examples do we need to hear? God's promise is true. Do what you need to do. That hardship will be removed. Collectively do it. That hardship will be removed. They said the revolution is impossible. It's impossible for Khomeini to overthrow the Shah. The Shah, his people, the Americans, everybody, they laughed at the thought that this old man is going to be able to do anything. He said, we rely on God. It's our taklif. Whatever happens, happens. And we know that God's going to give us victory. Whatever happens, happens. But we know for sure, God has promised victory. That's what happened. They waged a war. They supplied Saddam with everything, besieged the Islamic Republic in multiple ways. laughed at the thought that, and then even internally with the president that was in place in the Islamic Republic, laughing at the thought that these guys can survive. I said, oh, in a week, Saddam said, I'm going to be in Tehran in a week. That week went 6 months. They said 6 months. The Western analysts were saying, well, another year, 2 years. Gradually came to a point where they were begging the Islamic Republic to stop this war. And Imam Khomeini said, we're going to continue fighting until the fitna is over. Saddam needs to be removed. And they won the battle. They won the war. They won. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is faraj. That is God's promise coming true. When you want to do your takleef, that hardship is there. أفضل عبادة أمتي انتظار الفرج. Expect that it's going to be removed. When there's no time that's been set, you keep going. But no, if it takes 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, 20 years. For the Imam of our time, over 1,000 years, every day. أين المنتظر? In al-Muntadhar, it says, but he is Muntadhar. He is the top of the list. If God gives, says, intidhar al-faraj, he is Muvtar. He is in dire need of that faraj for over 1,000 years. He's not giving up. He's never given up. And he's constantly in the state of intidhar. Today, tomorrow, today, tomorrow. Without getting tired of that. And he's sure it's going to happen. 100% sure it's going to happen. So you don't want to have this type of intidhar. You don't want to have afdalu ibadatu ummati on a much smaller scale. We're in need of this ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us develop this iman, this faith, to believe in his promises, believe 100% in wa'ad Allahi haqq, God's promises are true, and not only keep that as just some thought in our heads, but rather turns into something that forms the state of intidhar in us, and as long as it may take, on whatever, we gave three contexts that can be implemented in, however long, in whichever of those contexts it takes, we continue to do this ibadah and we don't give up, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us be true and close companions of the imam. We ask Allah to forgive us all of our sins. We ask Allah to help all those who are helping his cause, especially our ulama, our maraja, and more so our leader. We ask Allah to grant all of us and all believers worldwide their hajat, their needs, their requests. We ask Allah to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. For the mu'mineen, mu'minat who've passed, especially during this pandemic, especially our dear sister Anna and other community members that we have lost in the larger community in Southern California. For all of those marhumin and marhumat, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless their souls with a fatiha preceded by صلوات على محمد وآل محمد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم